Ah, white cheddar Wonder Burgers with caramelized onion, special sauce, and Old Bay fries. That sounds like something David had this weekend. That's just one of the delicious new recipes I've discovered thanks to HelloFresh. Ready to try America's number one meal kit? Get 12 free meals, including free shipping, when you use code INVEST12. That's HelloFresh.com/INVEST12. Ooh, Old Bay fries, fantastic. On today's show, crypto collapse. Is the end of Bitcoin near? Well, the whales are sure hoping that you buy that and believe that FUD. We'll get to that. Also on the show, the last stimulus. Businesses are pushing for one more big stimulus check. And where are we with the big infrastructure bill? We expect some major news today on infrastructure from the White House. And Medicare for All. New data shows just how well Medicaid fared during the pandemic. Turns out it did pretty darn well. Morning Invest starts right now on this Monday. Hey, everybody, I'm Clayton Morris. Welcome in to the show where we teach you how to build wealth, turning short-term profits into long-term holds. We're live every morning right here at 9 a.m. Eastern time, and we've got a lot of news on to get to today. But first, I want to tell you about our newsletter. If you want to be more informed, learn something new every morning, you should join our daily newsletter, which we send out by email right to your inbox first thing between 6 and 7 a.m. Eastern time. The best part is it's simply free. Just go to morninginvest.com, put in your email address, and you'll be added to our list. Supports our show. It helps us keep doing what we're doing. Plus, when you subscribe to the newsletter, you know, you're feeding Grover. Like basically he gets some free kibble out of the deal. So he thanks you. He thanks you for that. And then we get David in the control booth. We get him a cheeseburger as well. That's what we do. Steaks. We had steaks this weekend, didn't you?
All the beef.
Steaks. All the beef. Oh man, how are you, my friend? Hope you had a good weekend.
I did. I did a lot of. I got to go outdoors. It's been close to 100 degrees here this week, so yeah, I spent as much time as I could outdoors, and then made steaks on the grill Saturday, and
yeah. Grover's moving spots.
Uh oh.
it's like, oh, he's now out of camera. Nice on the grill. I got to get my grill fired up, by the way. I gotta get my grill ready to go. I still haven't even lit it up yet, but I want to do. I got one of those eggs, you know, the big eggs.
Oh yeah.
Where you can like make it like 700 degrees in there, where it gets that perfect like char on the one side. Oh man, gotta do that.
I should have done that. I went with a $300 grill, and so it's like one of those ones that air can get in. So I couldn't get it to temperature this weekend for the steaks. They still turned out great, but I like to get it to a certain temperature and then sear it on one side. Oh man, I need to get an egg.
Oh, you're getting me hungry here. it was a crazy weekend. I mean, let's talk about what's going on in the markets, because boy, I mean, did you see the bloodbath of Bitcoin? I mean, I don't know if you tuned into your your account. You know,
I did.
What did you think when you saw?
I was like, holy cow. Like it's not been that low in a long time. Cause I don't have much in there. I like took out the other money that I put in, but I still have, a $400 investment sitting in there. So $420. Yeah. So I just kind of watched it, and it was down to 200 and something. I was like, holy cow. I'm so glad I didn't go like, you know, $5,000-$6,000 or something.
Yeah. I mean, we'll just wait till it goes up to 800, you know, that's at 400 right now. So that's where I think things are heading in this. But I mean, over the weekend, man, Bitcoin right now, if we check in on the Bitcoin charts right now, I mean, Bitcoin 32,000. I mean, this is a bloodbath, down almost 10%. I mean, Bitcoin just in like pre-market before, you know, even early showtime here, down to 3,200 Monday morning, early this morning, dropping below 33,000 for the first time since June 8th. Pretty bad. But again, we told you this, right? I mean, didn't we talk about this last Monday? 1 week ago, I said, be careful. On the 21st or the 22nd, you're going to see a massive drop. Here we are. And why? Because Bitcoin whales. I mean, all you need to do is go look at the charts, right? Look at the charts. Look at Bitcoin short charts. So you had this enormous amount of whales shorting Bitcoin. And now look at it. Isn't this amazing? Look at the short chart. All the way down. So what does that mean? They shorted Bitcoin. They made a ton of money as it plummeted, right? And now guess what? Guess what they're doing? They're going long. So here's how it works, folks. I mean, this is how the whales make money. They're hoping that you are going to sell your Bitcoin. That's it.
I feel like you have to have a stomach of steel to be in this deal, because like anytime you imagine the people, yeah. how many people just recently saw a lot of their money just go, like in their mind, go away.
Yeah. But it's, you know, it's unrealized losses, right? So if they didn't do anything, if they didn't sell, if when they see this FUD coming out of China, like Bitcoin sinks to 2-week low as China intensifies crypto mining crackdown here on CNBC. And this morning, like the covering on CNBC, like this is the kind of stuff you're hearing about, this, all this FUD, right? Fear, uncertainty, and doubt. It's, again, this is all fakery here. This is fakery. This is fake news. China cracking down on Bitcoin mining, it only makes the asset stronger. So if China is cracking down on Bitcoin mining, again, it means that it makes the asset stronger, because then that mining moves to other parts of the world. Scarcity. Again, but people don't understand that. People who don't understand how these markets move end up crapping their pants and they end up jumping out. And that's what's going on here. And so when you have this Bitcoin price, 32,000 this morning, I mean, just watch mainstream media this morning. This was CNBC this morning. This is how mainstream media, that's run by billionaires, spins it. Listen.
A crackdown in cryptocurrency mining in China, putting some pressure on digital coins this morning. You can see across the entire complex here, Bitcoin off by...
So that's the way they're framing it. And that's garbage. Like, China cracking down on crypto is the reason that all of these coins are down. No, they're not. That's not why.
About 7.75% to 32,561. Weakness across the board there, with Dogecoin down by about 15%. And also check out shares of MicroStrategy. They've been falling pretty hard too. That company is one of the biggest.
So MicroStrategy, of course, is Michael Saylor's company, right? So MicroStrategy, they always put this up on the screen whenever there's Bitcoin news, because they're like, well, he's bought so many Bitcoin in their portfolio for MicroStrategies. Clearly, Michael Saylor, man, he must be pissing his pants right now. But listen to this. You talk about a stomach of steel.
Corporate investors in Bitcoin, that stock down by 7.5%. MicroStrategy just came out with an announcement moments ago that it has purchased even more Bitcoin.
Talk about stomach of steel. Michael Saylor, Bitcoin billionaire, is like, hey, these prices are amazing. I'm swooping in. I'm buying more. As he tweets this morning, over the weekend, the dominant driver of Bitcoin right now is the crackdown on mining and trading in China that began in May. This created a forced and rushed exodus of Chinese capital mining from the Bitcoin network, and a tragedy for China and a benefit for the rest of the world over the long term. Support. Here's another tweet. I think China is driving the price down to accumulate as much as possible before full adoption by the whole world. Here's another. Mike says, not an exodus, a calculated and manipulated transfer of crypto from retail investors, like the little mom and pop people that don't know what they're doing, over to the institutional investors. It's an exodus. It's painful and quick. This has taken months. Executed in the middle of the night on weekends, slow and methodical, to ensure pain so your institutional friends can purchase. That's exactly what happened. The data doesn't lie. That's why we warned you last Monday that Bitcoin shorts were through the roof, that we were preparing to hear a whole bunch of FUD around Bitcoin, that it's collapsing, that the Chinese are stepping in on it, that governments are going to regulate it, all of this stuff. It all happened. I mean, it's pretty remarkable. I mean, you look at these Bitcoin short positions, and now they're turning into long positions. That's exactly what's happening. Not surprising. By the way, many of you saw two different live streams today. We're going to have a redirect to our trading live. I'm going to be going live after this one, right as the market opens. Something I'm going to try, because I'm there trading, doing live trades for hours anyway. So I thought, and David, I thought, well, hey, why don't we just do it live, right? What do you think? Like, sit there. So after this live stream, you don't have to do anything. It should redirect you right to the new live stream, we hope, right? We think that's how it's going to work.
Let's do it live. We'll do it live.
Let's do it live. Let's do it live. We'll get to our stimulus update, infrastructure. We're hearing from the White House this morning. I want to get to that in a second, but first I want to tell you about our friends over at Public. So Public, if you're uneducated about trading, if you're really unsure about how to get started, Public is an amazing way to both trade and get free slice of stock, by the way, just for opening an account if you use our link, if you go to public.com/morning. But what I love about Public is it really is like a social media platform for inclusive investing. It's educational, it's fun. And when you're on there, you can see what other like bigger investors are posting. Like, here are the things that I'm watching during the day. Here are the trades I'm making. You can follow me over there. I'm Clayton Morris on Public. And so you can see what trades I'm making, what I'm investing in, what I'm buying, and how much I made or how much I lost in profits and so forth. And so you can follow along with some of your favorite traders. You can also see different news, and like, I'll post some of the things I'm looking at during the day over there. When you invest with public.com, you're never investing alone. It makes it easy to collaborate and build your confidence as an investor. They have a really clean, beautiful, easy platform. 74% of their community considers themselves to be long-term investors. So this is not like day trading style. Like, you're buying something for the long haul for your portfolio. So I follow a bunch of different people on the app. You can follow me. You can follow people like Tony Hawk, Philip DeFranco. He's a big investor. You can follow him over there.
He's actually on the board or something. He invested in the app itself.
Oh wow! So he's even more of a big believer in. Yeah, I'm just an investor myself in the stocks. But anyway, go to public.com/morning to follow me on Public and see what I'm investing in. You can start investing today with as little as $1. You'll even get a free slice of stock when you join. So go to public.com/morning to download the public.com app. Valid for U.S. residents, 18 and over, subject to account approval. See public.com/disclosures. This is not investment advice. All right, let's talk about the stimulus, shall we? Because fourth time is a charm, I suppose. Businesses right now are asking Congress one last time, like, hey, we know you're planning on kind of walking away from this whole thing, but we are looking for more money right now. As the pandemic subsides, businesses are pushing Congress for one more bailout to help them ride out the end of the pandemic, assuming, well, of course, that this is the end of everything.
they can't do that when Bezos is getting ready to fly to space. I mean, they've got the 10, but you know what I mean? All the billions got to go to the corporations first. Right. Then maybe they can trickle down the rest to them in a way of a PPP loan that they can fight for.
Yeah, maybe the little guys, like trade. See, because here's the argument right now. It's like trade associations representing gyms, amusement parks, restaurants, travel, and even horse shows say they've suffered massive losses during the pandemic and would really appreciate one more government payout. The National Restaurant Association says that the industry lost $290 billion in revenue during the pandemic. And many restaurant owners are suffering from massive debt and back rent as a result. So yeah, these big, you know, multi-billionaire corporations managed to get these big bailouts, and the Fed continues to funnel billions of dollars to them. But it's the little guys that get screwed again, right?
Could you imagine if the little guys could get the subsidies that the big guys get? Like let them make their profits and losses, they're fine. Give the subsidies to the smaller companies and it would work, but it's completely opposite. And I don't understand it. To me, it's just like common sense that you would want to invest in those businesses more than the big ones.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we always hear that small business is the driver of our economy, right? So if that's the case, then why are we continuing to bail out Wall Street, giving $10 billion to Jeff Bezos, right? Jeff Bezos took a child tax credit on his taxes, and he paid $0 in taxes. $0 in taxes, and he took a child tax credit? He needs a child tax credit? So what about a stimulus? I mean, look, restaurants say, you know, we're still incredibly vulnerable. Apparently, Republicans are signing on to bills to give grants to restaurants, even gyms, even as the GOP is balking at President Biden's infrastructure spending. Lawmakers are listening. I mean, it's pretty remarkable that they're signing on to offer grants to gyms and restaurants, aid to businesses, of course, has bipartisan support, unlike the president's infrastructure plan, which, you know, we'll see. We're going to get to infrastructure here in a second. But, you know, where did they come down on this? But, you know, all these small restaurants that got hammered. Kristen Swenson says, right, in a year from now, when we're worse off in the pandemic, they won't be able to fix the current economy. There won't be enough people left to rape on taxes. Exactly. Yeah. you know, and then you had over the weekend, I mean, you had Senator Sanders coming out proposing a $6 trillion infrastructure plan that was immediately laughed at by a number of people in Washington that that's not going to happen. And meanwhile, let's talk about infrastructure. Meanwhile, a ton of news on President Biden's infrastructure plan this morning. This is a massive week for President Biden's quest. He's on a quest. He's on a vision quest right now to cut a bipartisan infrastructure deal. I you know, a lot of people called him crazy, myself included. Like, why do you want to work with Republicans on this? I think he knows that Joe Manchin is driving the, he knows that he, if he's going to try to do this alone, he's up against a Joe Manchin sized wall. And that's the issue from on the Democratic side. So today we expect the president to lean in and try to move the process along. And here's the news that we have, first of all, this morning on, this is breaking news as of this morning on infrastructure. The White House truly seems to be believe a deal with the bipartisan group of 20 senators is doable and perhaps even likely. We can't tell how much of like this is just optimism and how much is actual reality. But we did hear from Jared Bernstein this morning from the White House, and he thinks like, you know, hey, trying to raise taxes on people that are under $400,000 a year is a red line for us. We're not going to do it. But we do have bipartisan support right now. And he seemed to be sounding a pretty sunny tune here. Listen.
The sand for him. One is inaction is unacceptable. You and I have talked about the need for investments in infrastructure, in R&D, in electric vehicles, in clean energy for years now. And this president deeply values and understands the importance to our economy, to our productivity of those investments. The other line in the sand is, of course, no tax increases for anyone under $400,000. Now, both sides say they want to make sure this agreement has some pay-fors, and that is still clearly under negotiation.
Okay, so still under negotiation. The White House's main focus this week is trying to figure out the right mix of offsets right now. So, you know, hey, if Republicans want this, how can we offset that with this? And it's going to be back and forth. They do not want, you know, I mean, Republicans want a hiking on the gas tax. You know, there's going to be people pushing for this gas tax. But I'm telling you right now, like the gas tax is the thing that is like a non-starter for so many of these senators, right? You and I were talking about this before, David. It's like, well, you talk about not taxing people under $400,000, but if you raise the gas tax on miles driven by, you know, by electric vehicles, like you're going to tax electric vehicles because they don't pay gas taxes. Like that's what Senator Susan Collins wants out of Maine. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, it is. And the thing is, like, if you think about it, I'm anxious to see what actually ends up in this bill, because anything that you're hearing that is going to benefit us won't go through. But like the gas tax, like, okay, we're going to compromise. You can pay for it with a gas tax, then we'll approve for this. And it's going to be, I want to see where all the businesses that end up getting this money over the people.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, these fees, these red lines for the administration and the White House, you know, they all have these suggestions right now to the group on different ways to drop these provisions while continuing to pay for the entire package. Like, okay, we're going to drop any corporate taxes. Okay, so how are we going to pay for this? No corporate taxes now? Well, we'll just raise taxes. Then we'll just make all these hippies who own electric vehicles start paying taxes on their miles driven electronically. They're not paying gas taxes. So now we should go after them for that? Well, shouldn't we incentivize people to get electric vehicles?
Don't they are like
so
what,
we're not using fossil fuels?
Like, okay, so we're going to give you $5,000 off your taxes if you get a hybrid vehicle or an electric vehicle, but then we're going to take it back for gas taxes.
Right. Yeah, we're going to encourage you to burn fossil fuels. Like, we know you got this car that's environmentally friendly. Now we're going to make you pay for it because you didn't get a gas guzzler.
Let's just get them to buy carbon certificates or something. You know what I mean?
Right. Carbon offsets.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Well, then raising gas taxes, I mean, and Bernie Sanders is like, absolutely not. This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Absolutely not. He came out against this weekend, of course.
Are you comfortable with a two-step process where you do, you noted, this is the 25% about of what President Biden asked for. Is it worth it in your mind to take what you can get in a bipartisan way especially if that's the way you can get Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema to get on board a Democrats-only bill that may tackle the care economy, as you just outlined.
Well, look, as I said, what is in the bipartisan bill in terms of spending is, from what I can see, mostly good. It is roads and bridges, and we need to do that. That is what we are proposing in our legislation, but in much greater numbers. One of the concerns that I do have about the bipartisan bill is how they are going to pay for their proposals. And they're not clear yet. I don't know that they even know yet, but some of the speculation is raising a gas tax, which I don't support, a fee on electric vehicles, privatization of infrastructure. Those are proposals that I would not support.
We got the sense yesterday that there will be a White House meeting with senators this week. It could even happen today on the House side. Forget about the Senate. Let's talk about the House. Nancy Pelosi, the Democrats are going to begin preparing a blending, a melding, like a mind melding of the $574 billion surface transportation bill that's coming out of the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. And then they're going to have some water-related legislation from the Energy and Commerce Committee. They're going to stick that together, we think. Then this will head to the floor next week, and that's going to deliver on Nancy Pelosi's promise to pass an infrastructure package by the July 4th recess. Can it happen? And if, you know, good for you, if you can keep all of these pieces of chess pieces on a chessboard, figuring out all of this right now. Like, okay, we got water and roads. That's going to come together in one package. And then what about the Senate and the like child tax credits and the schools pieces of this and solar and wind and energy and you know, fixing schools up and all of this, like child care and pre-K schooling, nursery schooling, and all of that. How does that all fit together in one big ball of gobbledygook? I don't know. Can it happen? I mean, what do you guys think in the chat? Do you guys think that they're going to be able to work on a bipartisan basis with Democrats and Republicans coming together?
That's funny.
I wasn't sure if that was Grover or not over there. Grover, what do you think? Do you think there's a chance in hell? Do you think there's a chance?
No.
No. He's like, I'm not even waking up for this one question. Grover, what do you think? No.
After they strip everything out that benefits us, it'll pass. Don't worry.
Right. Everyone in the chat's like, Michelle Brown says no. Daniel G says hell no. Arlene Mara says hell no. No, no way. Jeff Brown, I think it's doable. So Jeff thinks it's doable.
Jeff the optimist with the glass half full over there.
Jeff the optimist. I like that.
Yep.
No, of course not. No straight shambles. No. You're kidding, Clayton, right? Nathaniel says. Big Spiro says love sleeping Grover. If you're not playing politics, maybe it will. We'll see. We got some more news to get to in a second here, but I want to tell you about our friends over at Grammarly. You know, it's something we use every day here when we're doing our newsletter, because I mean, we have a newsletter that goes out to tens of thousands of people a day. There's no way I'm sending that out without running it through Grammarly first. What is Grammarly? It basically comes to saving time and working more efficiently. It's the little things that start adding up and hogging the time in your day. And Grammarly Premium gives real-time suggestions on your writing so you can get to the next item on your list in record time. We absolutely love it. I mean, so I use it as a Chrome extension. It's inside of Gmail as well. David, you use it all the time, right?
Oh, yeah. If I didn't, people would make fun of me.
I mean, you get clarity suggestions. You know, Grammarly Premium helps you get your messages across quickly without repeating unnecessary words, vocabulary suggestions, no more searching for synonyms. And, you know, they also let you know, like, hey, like this is overused. Like you're using this word over and over again. Like we can come up with some things that make you stand out. And you can set goals so you can improve your overall writing score as you get better about it. Streamline your workload with seamless integration into Microsoft Office, your internet browser, your phone, and more. I use the Grammarly keyboard on my iPhone.
It works in Google
as well
Docs,
as
too.
Which is good. Yeah, they have, it's great. We use Google Docs as our sort of template every morning for our newsletter. So it's in there. It's already checking stuff for us. missing hyphens. It's so good. It's so
well.
Good.
What I love is it carries over to when I'm writing in, I'm like sending a text message or whatever. I remember, oh, a comma goes after this now, because that's the thing, like with commas and punctuation and stuff. Like that's my hardest thing. But this has helped me actually learn where to put those things.
And to remove passive voice. That used to be the bane of my existence, passive voice. And now I've virtually eliminated passive voice from my writing thanks to Grammarly. So awesome. So here, hit send with confidence and get your point across more effectively with Grammarly Premium. Get 20% off Grammarly Premium by signing up at grammarly.com/invest. That's 20% off at grammarly.com/invest. Our thanks to Grammarly for their support of the show. Hey, let's talk about Medicare for All before we wrap the show up today. Medicaid, it turns out, reached its highest number since the pandemic to over 80 million people. Now, all the people out there who are like, hey, Medicare for all this stuff doesn't work, right? It's not good. It's not going to help people. Guess what? In comparison to 71 million from last February before the pandemic, double the enrollment since 2001. Many states used their Affordable Care Act funding to expand Medicaid. Now, nearly one in four Americans are covered by Medicaid or Medicare. And they're often criticized, you know that, as overcrowded, that you're getting substandard health care. But guess what? There's so many people, there are millions of people without health care. Wouldn't it be great to at least get them something? And now we know that the programs did pretty well during the pandemic. They were actually able to keep up. They increased their ability to see patients through telemedicine. It was amazing. This is like a government program that actually grew up.
I think
through
this
pandemic.
Is the only government program that actually is efficient and works. Tell me another one.
Yeah, isn't it amazing? I can't think of another one. I mean, hey, what about the IRS? What about the post office?
The VA.
What about TSA? The VA. Can you think of anything else? I can't. Yeah, I think you're right about that. So they were able to improve themselves, like with telemedicine. The programs claim that they are mostly well-staffed in all areas except mental health care. They're still working on staffing up there. These programs are expensive and often put a strain on state budgets, but due to federal COVID relief bills, the states have had to help. They've had help paying for them. And guess who's profited from this? Private health care providers. States are paying private companies to offer care, so they have profits, and their profits skyrocketed since the pandemic. And here's one quote from one of the people in the health services. She says that we are seeing plans revenues go up and utilization of health services decline, which is a recipe for increased profits, says Massey Worley, a Medicaid expert with the consulting firm Avalara. Also, Chuck Schumer now supporting Bernie Sanders' plan on this. Bernie Sanders wants to, and this makes a lot of sense. I don't know why this hasn't happened before, but he's now backing Senator Sanders' plan to add dental, vision, and hearing coverage to Medicaid. Why hasn't this been here before? Like Senator Sanders says, or Chuck Schumer says, there's a gaping hole in Medicare that leaves out dental, vision, and hearing coverage. Like, how is that not part of it in the first place? Like eyes, like sight, hearing, dental. So we only focus on your heart, cholesterol, I guess? I don't know. It says, I'm working with Senator Sanders to push to include dental, vision, and hearing in Medicare coverage to the American Jobs and Families Plan. So we're going to get more info on this American Jobs and Families Plan, hopefully in the coming hours. We could see it today. I'm hopeful that we'll see it very, very soon. So we'll have an update on all of that and more on
the
show.
You got a minute left,
man. So thank you, everyone. Yeah, thank you everyone for subscribing. If you're new here, we do the show live every day at 9 a.m. Eastern time, trying to bring you the morning business news that can improve your day so you're fully informed on the things and stories that I think are important to the American people, not Wall Street. So I want to thank you for subscribing and becoming a part of our great community here so you can get the news and the news that you can use. Now we're going to redirect. I want you to join us live if you're interested in live trading. I'm going to be for the next few hours doing live trades and watching the markets, and it's going to be very informal. Sit back. You can keep your pants on or off. Totally up to you. But you shouldn't have to do anything. You should be able to redirect right to our live trading desk. So I'm going to get up and go over to the live trading desk in a second, and I'm going to be sitting down and enjoying that. So hopefully you guys will enjoy that. If you're not interested in it, hey, then you got the news you can use today, and we'll see you back here bright and early tomorrow morning. Thank you, everyone. Much love to all of you. We'll see you.